May your word pierce our hearts, demand our souls, and so fill us that our lives may be a reflection of your amazing love. Amen. In 1860, Milton Bradley created his first board game called The Checkered Game of Life. It was a morality match between virtue and vice, where the object was for the player to get from infancy to happy old age with the most amount of points. Landing on a constructive trait, you gained points and moved forward on the board in a straight path. If you landed on a vice, however, it would subtract points and it would impede your progress. It was the first game with a purpose to teach a lesson of success through integrity and right living. In the 100th anniversary edition, in 1963, it was simply called the Game of Life. Money was added to the equation, and vice and virtue were taken out of it altogether. However, there was a point in the game where the player reached the day of reckoning, and they had to choose between going to Millionaire Acres, if you had earned it, or to take the risk to become a millionaire, but you might end up at the poor farm. Now, the most modern version rewards players for taking the most amount of risk for becoming a millionaire and collecting life tiles. Along the path, you might end up in bankruptcy, but you can get your revenge by suing. The object of this game is to accrue the highest value at the end of the game. In other words, whoever has the most toys wins. It's an interesting and not so subtle shift from placing merit on integrity to assigning worth based on accumulation. If these board games reflect a shift in our culture's values, today's readings might just make us squirm. Both the gospel from Matthew and the first lesson from Deuteronomy give us a heavy dose of the law and its consequences. While we might dismiss these passages as being, you know, appropriate to their time, we do well to listen to the warning and the promise of each of these texts. Understanding their context will help us to see the assurance of relationship that undergirds the words that are given to God's people. This tough love language seems constricting and judgmental. Yet could this invitation to accountability and clarity of values actually be a path to freedom? As the book of Deuteronomy begins, the Israelites have lived in the desert, wandering for 40 years. They've camped now in the plains of Moab, east of the Jordan River, and they're preparing to enter into the land of Canaan. The failures of their past are behind them in the desert, and the challenges of the future lie ahead across the Jordan River. Moses is nearing the end of his life. Knowing that he's not going into the promised land with his people, he gives his last sermon. Like anyone whose time is short, he didn't mince words. I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that your descendants may live. They had been given the power to shape their lives according to the commandments, and in not so subtle ways, they had shifted their priorities. They were offered as a people a covenant, and Moses was holding them accountable to keeping their promises. He urged them to love the Lord their God and to love one another and keep the commandments, for in so doing, they would choose life. Likewise, in another place in time, Jesus, his words pierce the hearts of his listeners. Let your word say yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this is from the evil one. The gift of the commandments made it possible for people to line up their lives with God's intentions. His teaching reached beyond the slippery slope of human interpretation of the law to reveal its real objective, valuing relationships to God and to one another. He used these traditional teachings as the foundation for righteousness, and he intensified the message to illustrate how easily people justify their actions that are not of God. Jesus moved his examples from outward acts to inward intention, from murder to anger, from adultery to lust. Like Moses, he offered both a warning and a promise. No one can live completely autonomously without consequences. And there would be blessing in a life with relationship to God and one another. Now, we live in a culture that often equates accountability with control, clarity as rigidity, and surrender as weakness. The gray areas of life are distracting, they cloud our vision, and sometimes cause us to choose the wrong direction. We can all cite examples of how religion has been misused to perpetuate someone's personal agenda, to attack another member, to exclude someone, to justify misbehavior. In a world that often devolves into the ends justify the means orientation, these tough love reminders may feel irrelevant or archaic. But friends, just like the board game of life, we will all have a day of reckoning. When our time is short, we will not be focused on what we have accumulated, but the relationships that we have cultivated. Here at Holy Cross, we've had periods of wandering in the desert. Certainly, our nomadic beginnings as a mission meant that those founding members had to stick together to find their way. We stand now at the shores of our own Jordan River, and we must look to God to be ahead of us, to give us those guiding principles that make our path straight. To choose life is to trust in God's promises. Let the promise of relationship and God's covenant of love be our guide for the future. Let us each examine our hearts for the strengthening of our integrity and strive for a path of right living, to match our lives with the covenant we've made in baptism is to live in freedom and clarity. Last week, during a Eucharist service at Church of the Holy Cross in West Pittsburgh, presiding Bishop Michael Curry spoke with tough love to his people. He said, "Don't be afraid to be people of love. Don't be afraid to stand up for the name of Jesus. Don't be afraid to reclaim your faith again. Episcopal Church, we need you to follow Jesus. We need you to be the countercultural people of God who would love one another, who would care when others could care less, who would give and not take. We need a revival inside the church and out, he says, and not just the Episcopal Church. For there is much that seeks to articulate itself as Christianity that doesn't look anything like Jesus. And if it's going to look like Jesus, it's got to look like love. Jesus came among us to show us how to become more than simply the human race. He came to show us how to become the human family of God. And my brothers and sisters, he says, in that is our hope, and in that is our calling. In the next few weeks, we will be entering into the season of Lent, which is an appropriate time for us to begin to do some self-examination, some reflection and recommitment to our covenant priorities. I pray that we ask ourselves each day if our words and actions are life-giving or produces little deaths. God has given us the power to choose, to be a force for love, to live with integrity and accountability. As we play the game of life, may we find the straight path with God's help and be a blessing to all we encounter. I set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life. Amen.